Welcome to How Now, the podcast where we talk about how to live in the now. And here's your host, Kim Martin Raymond.
Peace, love, and light, and welcome to this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. I am your host, Kim Martin Raymond. I am a minister, spiritual life coach, holistic nutritionist, author, and founder of Redefining You, LLC, where I help my clients to realign themselves, mind, body, and spirit. And welcome to the show. If this is your first time joining us, please go to my website, www.hownowpodcast.com. Pick your favorite podcast platform and be sure to like, follow, share, and subscribe. You can scroll down to the bottom of the page and it will take you to the banner for this week's show. And then you can click on it and it'll take you to the How Now YouTube channel where you can like, follow, share, and subscribe there as well. Take a look around, check out the playlist and find out what's going on with my wellness journey and also find out what's happening in the now and also tap into some of the shows that you may have missed. So again, that's www.hownowpodcast.com. So today we're doing something a little different. If you notice, my guest is here with me. We're not side by side. We are actually recording live from the Miracle of Massage Establishment. I am so happy to be here with my guest, and he is no stranger to the How Now podcast because he appeared as a guest in November of 2021. Well, he's been rocking with the How Now podcast for a couple of years now, and I am so glad that he is here to talk about the topic that we're going to be touching on today, which is gratitude and deep breathing and its effects on managing or eliminating pain. So as is customary with the How Now podcast, I'm going to have my guest introduce himself at this time, and we'll get the party started. Hello there.
Thank you for having me. My name is Brian Walters. I'm a licensed massage therapist with the Miracle of Massage. We specialize in pain relief therapy. That's good enough?
That's good enough. Okay. That's good enough. And like I said, we're here side by side. Me and Brian go way back. He has been a dear friend of mine. I remember in the early days when he was working on getting his certification, and I was more than happy to be a client to help him in achieving that goal. So yes,
I remember those days.
Many a day. Yeah, I'm not gonna say I was a test dummy because I enjoyed every moment of it. I was like, oh, you need somebody to help you with the massage? I'll do it. So I am happy to be here. I'm happy to be here and to see how things have evolved since that time. And so, like I said, first we'll talk about, you know, what's been going on with your establishment since the last time we spoke, because there's a lot that's happened since November of 2021. We were still in the middle of the pandemic and things were going on. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that have changed since then?
Well, as you just mentioned that, from the days when you used to volunteer to help me learn this stuff, it's been 14 years.
Wow.
It's been 14 years.
My goodness, 14. I didn't know it was
that long. It's been 14 years. Time flies.
Friends for a long time.
Long. The pandemic brought about changes. Mm-hmm. It started us working from home. You know, before the pandemic, they said about 7% of Americans work from home. Mm-hmm. And after the pandemic, they say it's about 47-48%.
Mm-hmm.
I try to encourage my clients wherever possible, even if it pays a little bit less,
mm-hmm.
work from home. You zero the gas bill, you zero the stress of traffic, you zero, 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 so many mm-hmm. things, and your quality of life goes through the roof.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a definite plus. It wasn't our plan to work from home,
mm-hmm.
but after being closed for 3-4 months, no end in sight, we had to totally close down.
Mm.
And my clients just started popping up at my house.
So
it evolved.
Yes.
And I enjoy working from home, so that's really a blessing.
Yeah. And I mean, just like you said, there's a change in how people are doing things. you're getting people who are, you still have people who are commuting, you have people who are doing a combination of the two, and then those who are just working from home. But there is a lot of sitting that is still going on. There's still a lot of working on your computers. I think a lot more people are spending more time in front of the technology. They may have just had to be on a computer for a set amount of time, then they would go to, meetings and things like that. So they would go outside. But did you notice a change in the things that people were starting to experience as a result of them sitting a little bit more or having to be more tethered to their computers than you saw in the past?
Definitely. Technology is a beautiful thing.
Yes,
I enjoy it.
it is.
With new technology comes more human problems. So technology solves a lot of problems, but it also incurs some problems. When someone is sitting at a desk for many hours or sitting at home at your table or however you set it up,
Right.
especially if you're on a keyboard, you have to bear in mind that your neck and shoulder muscles are supporting the weight of your arm for the entire day. The other side of that is a lot of people will work at home, work from their couch or their beds,
Right.
leaning on one arm, one shoulder, that kind of thing. That's just that definite no-no. It feels good at the time, but you pay a price further down. It's important that we look to see what someone is doing that's causing a problem and make the changes early. For those listening to this program, a simple thing like getting a chair with adjustable arms,
Yes.
whereby if you slide up the adjustment of the arm, you can rest your forearm on it, taking all the pressure off your neck and shoulders for however many hours you're there. Those simple things are what we look at because we're not trying to just get someone healed and be pain-free. We're also looking to get them to maintain being pain-free for as long as possible.
See, and that's something that's an important thing that you say there because it is, I talk about pain management and you corrected me in that, and that's wonderful. And I'm glad that you did because it isn't just about pain management. It's about relieving that pain, eradicating that pain, and getting to a place where we're have systems in place so that we're not causing it to be something that's reoccurring. And so I mean that's key. It's not just about pain management because we don't want to mask the problem. We don't want to just put a band-aid on the problem. We want to solve the problem.
I think unfortunately, medical professionals now, it's the norm to put a band-aid on the problem.
Yeah.
If you go to the doctor and say, I have headaches every day, they give you something to relieve the pain.
Right.
Possibly my thinking goes back to the days, my other life, I was a diesel mechanic for 20 years. So if you brought up your tractor trailer and you say, I've got an oil leak, and I give you a pair of dark glasses so you can't see the oil leaking, that might not be a bright thing to do.
Right.
The damage is still being done. Much like back in the day, there was a gimmick. If your what they call the idiot light on your dash comes on, your
Yes.
warning light,
Yes.
put a piece of electrical tape on
Yes.
it, your engine's still being damaged.
Right.
And unfortunately, I think the standard of medicine has kind of slid in that direction.
Yeah.
The medical professionals are focused on treating the symptoms. If I give you painkillers for your headache, that solves nothing. It's a temporary fix for your feeling the headache. It's more important that we look to find out what's possibly causing the headache. Is this person dehydrated? That will cause headache in a heartbeat.
No.
Is this a person stressed at work? Are their neck and shoulder muscles inflamed? And start with the least involved and go down the list because a lot of times people have gone and done surgery for stuff that's not surgical. And
Yeah.
then when it doesn't work, the doctor said, well, we tried. Yeah, but there were like four or five other possibilities that create the same symptoms
Yeah.
that we never looked at.
Yeah.
You know, that cost a lot less, and it didn't include cutting on the person.
And that's something critical that you're saying it, because it is, you know, there are so many misdiagnoses out there. And, or there are times where we go in, you know, something has happened, we rushed to the hospital, we were having some type of symptom, and then they run all of these tests, and then they come back and they say, oh, well, we don't know what it was. It had to be something. But like you said, there are so many symptoms that are similar for different things. And if they just go with that one thing, like you said, you're a diesel mechanic, you're going to go with things that have to deal with diesel, or you're going to deal with things that are mechanical. You're not going to look at the other things because you're going to assume that that's what the problem is. So if I'm going to a specialist and they're saying, oh, yeah, that's what it is, it may be a possibility, like you said, that it's not that, it's something else. And so, you know, if I'm having these symptoms and we've tried to resolve it and that didn't work, can we look at what the other options are? And I think that's where advocacy comes in, because I think it's so important for us to advocate for ourselves as patients. You know, yes, they are the medical professional. Yes, you are the professional, but I should still be well-versed enough to ask additional questions or to seek a second opinion.
They say, the hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Right.
A medical professional should have enough training and understanding of his or her craft to break it down and explain it to you, you being a novice to medicine, that you can understand it. This is not all cloudy and that kind of things. Years ago, a gentleman came in for a session. He had a separate situation where his right arm was in a sling. So I inquired about it. I was just curious. And he explained to me he had acute carpal tunnel. His pain level was 10 out of 10, 24 hours a day. The surgeon told him that they could fix this and no pain level, full use of his hand. He's had three surgeries. He can no longer use his right hand. And his pain is still 10 out of 10. With his permission, I touched his chest right here, held it for about 2 minutes. Moved my hand to ask him how much pain he has. It went down to a 2 out of 10. And I saw the tears coming down because he realized in that moment he did not have carpal tunnel. And the problem he had was very fixable and it did not require surgery. Now he can no longer use his right hand.
And that's that thing. And it's because when you don't know what you don't know, and if you don't know to ask the questions, you just take on what that person tells you. And you're thinking that, okay, I've come to seek assistance and they've done that. But the bigger question is, yes, you may be talking about how to temporarily fix the problem for me, but in the long term, what is something that we can do to continue to promote that?
It requires your medical professionals to be more open-minded. I focus on soft tissue, muscles, ligaments, and tendons. The gentleman who had a problem supposedly had a problem with carpal tunnel, who had the unnecessary surgeries, when I touched his chest, this is called a brachial plexus. This is where you have a whole pile of nerves and arteries and so on that are the junction area for them. So there are many different ways the nerve that can be squeezed. That's what they call a pinched nerve.
Yes.
It's not mystery, it just means something is pressing on a nerve.
Yes.
That can cause pain in the hand. In the vertebrae by the neck, that's possible. Or if these muscles, what we call in massage, your traps are inflamed, if that's squeezing on the nerve, which runs right there, that's possible. Down the side of the neck, that's a possibility. Between the clavicle and rib one, that's another possibility. The brachial plexus is another possibility. Yeah. Under what we call pec minor, the muscle that supports the top of your breast, that's another possibility. Any of those can cause a pain in the hand. And yes, actual carpal tunnel syndrome is the palm of the hand itself with the medial nerve being squeezed. We can't just jump to that.
Right.
All this is in the process too. All this is in the system. So it's a matter of someone taking the time to say, okay, let's go with the least invasive and work our way down. You know?
I like that train of thought because that's what happens. Sometimes they take us right to, like you said, right to the surgery. And you're saying, what are some things that we can do before we get there? And I think it's also important that as even as a patient, you know, in advocating for ourselves, that we're clear about where we're experiencing pain, when that pain is happening. So that way we can say, okay, I notice when I turn this or I notice when I do this, I have a pain and that pain is here. That way we can be a little more exact about, you know, just instead of just saying, well, you know, my shoulder hurts. It may not be your shoulder. Point to where it hurts. It may be, you may be calling this your shoulder, but it may be, like you said, your pec muscle or maybe something over here. It may not be where you're saying it is, you know?
Yes, the thing though is that's a medical professional's person to jump in. I know my clients are tired of the questions I ask them, but by asking them the different questions, it helps you to narrow down.
Yes.
Because if the answer to this question is no, then it takes those two off the table.
Right.
So now we've narrowed down to these, you know, and what you said is just dead on. There are a lot of times that everyone's definition of shoulder is different. So people will make an appointment and the right reason for the appointment, shoulder pain. When they come in, I sit them in front of me and say, okay, touch the pain. Sometimes it's down here,
Right.
sometimes it's up here,
Right.
sometimes it's here, you know, and each of these that I just touch bring in a different possibility, you know.
And I'm thinking that when you say shoulder pain, just like you said, if you go into the doctor and you fill that out and you say, yeah, shoulder pain, they already have a preconception of, okay, well, it's going to be this or this. And then they'll ask you one or two more questions and they'll go right with that. And it may not even be the thing. So that's why it's so important for us to be knowledgeable about things that are going on with us. And I think that it's also important for us to have a team of healthcare providers. And not just one particular person. Yes, you may have your main doctor who may, you know, send you to a specialist or things like that. But I believe that it's not just a matter of only medical, but holistic approaches and everything else, that we have to look at it, you know, on a wider spectrum. And then, like you said, start slowly bringing things in that way we can get to where the problem is. And again, not just masking. That's the important thing. I think that's the biggest takeaway too, that we're not masking the pain, that we're resolving the pain, that we're trying to get to the root cause of it so that we can eliminate it. But you know, sometimes I think what happens is, you know, you're in so much pain, all you just want is that relief for that moment. And then, you know, but then what happens is you have addiction. You have medications that are causing people to become addicted to those things instead of resolving the issue. That way they don't have to take those pills and be addicted to those pills. But if you're on it consistently, eventually it's going to become an addiction. So.
It is, I know it's simple gratification, but when I check on a client day one, day two, day three after they've been in here, and someone who's been on heavy duty painkillers
Yeah.
three, four times a day said, I did not have to take a painkiller today. Oh, it's dance time.
Exactly. That's right.
It dance for some, it might not be a big deal, but if you got to take a painkiller just to get out of bed, and you can go from that to get the pain down low enough that you don't have to take
That's
one.
it.
Another thing you have to bear in mind is this: the gold standard seems to be pain management. We don't like that. Pain management is for stuff that we can't fix. The base standard needs to be how can we find out what's going on to relieve, completely remove this pain. And I feel that if you aim low and you achieve it, you're still low. If you aim high or you aim for perfection and you achieve it, there you are. But if you fall low, you're still way higher than aiming low.
That makes sense. That makes sense. And that's something I think that's so important. And I mean, management, like you said, it's not about management, it's about trying to figure out how we can resolve the issue. Because I think of the costs. Because if you're constantly having to deal with just pain management, what that's doing is saying that I'm gonna have to be on this medication to relieve this pain all the time. So that means that I'm gonna be out of money. How long is insurance going to cover that? You know, and so we have to take all those things into consideration. And I think when you talk about eliminating pain, you know, some people are like, no, because if we eliminate the pain, then we're not going to get our money. And, then it becomes, a systematic thing, and we don't want it to be that, but it's about quality of life. For me, it's about what can I do to advocate for myself so that I can have the best quality of life that I can have with with the least amount, if no pain at all,
You've done something earlier, which has been a dream of mine, and it's really pretty cool to hear it coming from someone else. I think, and I don't know if it's realistic or possible, but I think when you go to the doctor, you should have five or six people on that team. It would each person having a different speciality.
Yes.
And when this way, when you're asked the questions, five or six people have heard the answers.
Yeah.
And then one person can say, well, I think it's X, Y, Z. And other person says, not sure because the person mentioned this.
Right.
And the team needs to not be incentivized by how long they can keep you sick.
Right.
It's hard for me to prove it, but I'm pretty sure there are a lot of professionals. The treatment is guaranteed to keep you coming back. We make a lot less money not doing that, but we can live with ourselves.
That's right.
I've had people who've come in and they said they've been going to major medical places and they've had sciatica for 4 years. Our absolute worst case, who was referred to us by two different chiropractors, 12 weeks. That's the absolute worst case. Most people are done between 4 and 6, 7 weeks, coming in one time a week. Some people, or many people, the gold standard now, you refer the person to physical therapy. Physical therapy is telling you 8 months to a year. You're coming in twice a week, 8 months to a year. Frozen shoulder, twice a week, 8 months to a year. There are times we fix frozen shoulder in 3 or 4 sessions. So in 4 weeks, you have full use without pain of your shoulder compared to 10 months and 8 months of not having use of your shoulder and in pain and can't sleep.
And then is it a possibility that even after that you're still experiencing pain after that because
There
it
is.
still hasn't
There is.
been resolved?
But that is the standard.
Yeah.
Whereas if you do that for 10 months, you're over $10,000. How much insurance covers? I don't know, but you're going to cover a whole pile of that,
Right.
compared to a matter of a few weeks. So we have to be more open-minded. In some cases, acupuncture works. Well, let's ship you off to an acupuncture person and let's try that before we cut on you.
Right.
And let's try the massage person, try that before, because if each professional is being honest, he got a pretty good idea if that's something he can fix.
Right. Right.
A lot of people will come in for knee problems, not usually something I can fix. Ankle problems, not usually something I can fix, unless it's being caused by something else that's in
Correct.
my ballpark.
Wrong.
That's different. Because I've had people with sciatic nerve pain that's not going down the standard, going down a straight line in the back of their leg. I've had people with sciatic nerve pain that just affects the knee, sciatic nerve pain that just affects the heel. And of course, that person goes to a podiatrist, the podiatrist is sending them to the surgeon, they're going back and forth
Right.
when it's along the route to the sciatic nerve. So it requires that you think very openly, what are the possibilities of this? Not just, this is what I start in medical school and that's what it's got to be.
Right. And I think that's important because, I think myself, I'm a coach. There are certain things that are going to be within the realm of possibility for me to be able to address. And some things are going to have to go to a specialist. Some things are going to have, may have to go to a therapist. They may have to go to a psychiatrist. They may have to go a step further. And as a person who is providing care for someone, I think that we have to be, we have to be open-minded, and we have to be willing to say, okay, this is outside of the realm of what I can do. And so now I'm going to move you forward. But if this is something that I can do, I'm going to try my best to get you to a place where we're resolving the issue for you. And again, not just putting a band-aid on it and having you stay with me when the next person can possibly get you to that space where you need to be. So that's I think that's so important for us to keep in mind, you know, especially people who are caring for anyone. But like you said, it requires a team. Just like they said, it takes a village. It takes a team of people to be able to, like you said, to give different perspectives. And if we don't take the time to do that, then we're doing ourselves a disservice. And that's why sometimes, you know, they call it a second opinion for a reason. Go and take the time to have that second opinion to make sure that that first one was accurate, or that they're at least those two things are in alignment. And if they're not, then you're saying, okay, well, this person isn't agreeing with this person. Now I'm going to need that third opinion. I need to break the tie. I need to do something to, you know, to get us on.
There's a human factor in that, though. There are medical professions, and there are also patients who will feel if you ask for a second opinion, you are insulting the medical profession. You know, and patients have to get past that. You know, I'm sorry if the medical professional's little feelings are hurt. You know, but you got to get past that. You got to get as much knowledge as you can. One of the things that we do here is we give free phone consultations.
Yeah.
And we ask people, just text us a request and we'll call you back as soon as we can get a chance. And there are a lot of times that what people call about is not in our wheelhouse, you know, but we can refer them to, I probably know at least 10 chiropractors. And they specialize a little bit different. Some are more holistic than others.
Yeah.
I have no problem giving the person a referral. Yeah. You know, but I don't need to bring them in here for stuff I know I cannot fix.
That's it. But I'm always going to advocate for myself. And I'm always going, you know, we have to put ourselves first. Sometimes we don't do that. We are concerned with hurting someone's feelings. But it's like, no, I need to advocate for me because I want a better quality of life. The older I get, the more inclined I am to say, okay, I'm going to ask an additional question. Just like I've told you before, when I go to the doctor, if I have to pay a $40 copay, I'm going to ask $40 worth of questions. I'm going to ask $40 worth of questions. I'm going to say, please have a seat. Don't stand there, lean up against the door so that you can go out in 5 minutes. I need for you to stand there and let me ask these questions so that way when I walk away, I feel confident that I've had the experience that I'm supposed to have. And that I've had all my questions answered or all of my issues resolved. Because how many times have we gone into the doctor's office and then, you know, they're like, da 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 da, have a good day. It was great seeing you. And then as soon as they've been in the corner, you're like, oh, I forgot to ask this, that, and that. If you're old like me, make sure you write things
down.
Write it down. Write down the questions that you have. If you're experiencing pain on a particular day and you think you have a doctor's appointment a week from now, write it down so that way you'll remember what it was that you wanted to ask. Because it's guaranteed that as soon as they've been in that corner, you're going to think of all the questions you could have asked and they're already on to the next person.
When they give you an answer, it's got to be one that you understand. There are endless times someone will come in and hear my MRI results and the doctor said XYZ. I said, okay, great. Do you know what that means? And they said, no, that's why we came. So,
right.
Okay,
right.
This is what that means. This is what his doctor is saying. This is what all is involved in it.
Yes.
And then they'll ask, what do you feel? A lady came in the other day, her MRI showed that she had narrowing of the spine and a whole pile of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I treated her for sciatica. She sent me a text the next morning. She got out to the bed. There was no lightning shock going down her leg. And her husband didn't have to lift her off the commode. I'll see you next week.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Now, am I saying that all the things on the MRI are not true? I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that's not what I thought was causing the problem at the time. You know, it's what's causing the problem at the time. There are lots of times you will get a scan that tells you it's this or this is going on. It's still important to go with the least invasive things and come up the ladder to get to that. Because many, many, many times, even though this is going on, that might not be what's causing the problem. You know?
I think that's important. And then also, like you said, we have to be willing to be open and honest about the things that are going on with us. Sometimes things, you know, sometimes, you know, if you're a diabetic or something, and say, you know, they ask you, well, how are you eating? You know, your A1C may be going up, not because there's anything wrong. It may be user error, things that you're doing. Mm-hmm. You're eating something that's mm-hmm. causing it to show up like this on, you know, as a result. So it's a matter of being honest about what are some of the things that you're doing that could be exacerbating the problem, that could be causing the problem to be worse than it is. Are you eating properly? Are you sleeping properly? Sometimes the pain is because you may not be sleeping correctly. You may need to sleep on your back, or you sleep weird, or you're sleeping on your arm, and you're causing, you know, your nerves to be, you know, pressurized. So there may be things that we're doing, you know, that could be causing the problem to be worse than it is.
Well, there's a lot that people don't know, and there's a lot that society doesn't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies who are pregnant, they tell them, if you sleep on your side, put a pillow between your knees.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't tell them why. To some degree, you don't want to squeeze a baby. I get that. But a key part is that top leg
mm-hmm.
is angled down towards the bed. Now, if you section someone out, that top leg is quite heavy.
Mm-hmm.
That angling towards the bed tugs on the hip. So if you put a pillow between the knees, not the legs, God, that makes it hot, but between the knees,
right.
The leg lays flat. It's not tugging on the hip. And a lot of ladies, 40s and 50s and more, have hip pain that the doctors can't figure why.
Mm-hmm.
If you sleep on your side, it can cause that. If you sleep on your tummy, it guarantees you back pain. That's the worst way you can sleep. If you're sleeping on your back, you have to elevate your legs. Your hip needs
Absolutely.
To be at least a 45-degree angle.
Yes.
So at that point, the arch in your back, those muscles relax.
Yes, and that makes perfect sense because, like I said, as a person who's had surgery, two surgeries in the last 2 years, I know a lot about sleeping on my back, and I have that little wedge that goes under my legs because they instructed you to sleep that way. And they say, do not sleep on your side until we give you you know, authorization to go ahead and do that. But it, like you said, you don't know what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But my whole thing is, don't just let me walk away and keep doing the wrong thing. If you're noticing that I'm having pain for the sake, oh, do you sleep on your back or do you sleep on this? Well, you know, my recommendation is that you use this kind of pillow or sleep this way. Give me something so that when I walk away, I'm not just walking away with the pain, but I'm walking away with some type of tool, something in my toolbox that, if I had this pain again, this is what I can do to help with that, you know? And one thing that I wanted to talk about, you know, when we're talking about pain and talking about, you know, relieving pain, one thing that I did want to touch on is deep breathing and the importance of doing that. And also another thing that we were, you know, that we wanted to talk about was, you know, the whole idea of gratitude. Now, you know, we talk about the physical things that are going on, but it's also important to talk about the mental and the spiritual things that go along with that, because there are so many things that we experience that have more than just that one component. So when we talk about pain relief, what are some things that we can do? Let's start with the deep breathing part first.
Ooh, deep breathing is very positive in many ways. There are endless benefits to deep breathing. Deep breathing gets more oxygen in your body, more air in your body, from which you get more oxygen going to the brain and all your cells. Deep breathing activates your lymphatic system.
Mm.
That is required to collect liquid that's between your cells, and it's really what they call the garbage system of the body.
Yes.
And process it through to the lymph nodes, which is a filtration system. It helps your body relax, so it minimizes stress.
Yeah.
It helps lower your blood pressure. The list just goes on endlessly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's important to, if you can make yourself create the habit of deep breathing, then you can naturally do that and take that off your list.
Yeah. I mean, that's something I think about when we talk about meditation and things like that. I never realized how shallow our breathing is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, until somebody asks you to take a deep breath, you know, you don't realize that you were just barely just taking little sips of air as opposed to breathing deeply. And that's something that's so, like you said, important. It brings that oxygen in. It brings you to that level of presence. It also, you know, to me, lets you know that your body, that you're here. What is it that I'm experiencing? You know, as I'm doing that, do I feel any pain when I take that deep breath? What do I feel when that happens? And so there's a lot that goes along with
it. It's
that
also deep. A good point of focus. We use it a lot here when we're pushing someone through the paces that we know is painful. If they can focus on their breathing, it takes more focus off the pain.
Yeah.
You know, this way we can get them from point A to point B with less conscious pain.
Gotcha. You know what it makes me think of? And I know you've mentioned this to me before. You know, when you talk about Lamas, and we talk about people who are, I mean, women when they're pregnant, and we tell them they breathe that, all of that breathing. Talk to me a little bit about that, because, you know, that was something I hadn't considered either. It's like the deep breathing goes with that as well.
Back in the day, I went to, well, my wife and I are having our first child, so. I went and thought I'd be proactive and went and got my Lamar certification.
Mm-hmm.
I went into that room and I told her about cleansing breath. She told me about myself. All the other pregnant ladies in the room told me about myself. People I didn't know. So I realized that my job was there was just take the abuse and be quiet.
That's right.
Yeah, that was a waste of money there. That certification. But yes, it does help you process pain. It helps you. It helps you, as you mentioned, with meditation. You know, if you can focus on your breathing can help you bring down your, well, I guess, increase your level of consciousness by bringing down your activity.
Yeah.
You know, slow it down to the place where you can rest. You can talk to your creator. You can just have deep thoughts that are not interrupted by what's going on around you. Yeah.
Something like you said, something as simple as breathing, and it costs you nothing.
It's critical. It also helps things like posture, because if you're like this, your diaphragm can't really rise and fall the way you need for proper breathing. Where if you're sitting erect, then your diaphragm has the ability to travel up and down. So from a health point of view, it's really something that, a habit that one wants to create.
Something as simple as that. And I mean, and that's a wonderful takeaway because, you know, if anything, if I can't do anything, let me breathe and see what happens when I do that. How do I feel once I do that? If I do that consistently, how is that helping me in that healing process? And so, like you said, there's a lot that goes along with the healing.
Yeah.
A lot that goes along with the breathing.
And the habit like that, especially for people who are easily stressed or anxious.
Yes.
You know, that deep breathing can help calm that down.
Yes.
You know, there are people who it seems every few seconds their body just tightens up.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a solution to that, but I do know. I tell them, once you're conscious of it, you take a really deep breath and you imagine rippling relaxation from the tip of your head through your entire body to your toes. And that calms your body down. Now, I'm not saying it's not going to get heightened in another 10 seconds, but at least you have a way now to calm it down when you're conscious of that.
That makes sense. And I mean, and that's a beautiful thing. Like you said, that's something that is simple. That is something that you know, again, doesn't cost you a thing. It doesn't cost you a thing, but the benefits go, you know, far outweigh.
Endless
benefits, okay? Mm-hmm. And another benefit, because like I said, it's all about talking about tools, things that we can reach back for, things that are not going to deter us. You know, if we are consistently on pain meds and we can't afford them, then we just start saying, well, I can't afford it, so I can't do it. And so I'm just stuck with the pain. So it's all about finding tools. What are some things that we can do outside of that outside of masking the pain that we can use long term. Breathing is something that we have to do every day.
One of the beautiful things about your program is that you look at the actual tools, as you call it, the actual processes of how to get these things done. Back in the day, I remember people saying, don't worry, be happy. Well, it's good to know. How do I do that?
Right.
You know, your ability to show people how to do this makes all the difference. You know, once they've seen the podcast, they can actually take it home with them and I can try this, I can do this.
All about
this tools. Is how it's done.
To me, it's all about tools. It's all about creating physical, mental, and spiritual toolboxes so that way when we're faced with any type of adversity, we're using the right tools to help assist us with whatever it is that we're going through. I believe in making sure that we respond and not react to the things that are happening around us. You know, and sometimes in our ignorance or in things that we don't know about, we tend to react as opposed to responding. We can respond better from a place of knowledge, from a place of wisdom. And my hope is always that we provide platforms like this so that people who are not aware of certain things, at least it scratches the surface, or at least it piques their curiosity to say, well, let me dig a little deeper. Let me figure out what's going on here. Or you know, it makes them want to learn a little bit more. That way, the next time it happens, again, you're responding and not reacting.
Responding usually, there's a trick to responding. If you take a few seconds, you take a minute or two before you respond, it becomes a response instead of a reaction. It's instead of a knee-jerk reaction.
Exactly.
Taking that few seconds to think it through. You know, people might think you might not be bright because you can come up with a snap answer.
Right.
You know, but it works better for you. Take a few seconds to think, what's involved in this? How do I, what result do I want from this situation? Therefore, how have I got to present this? Or how do I have to answer it? Do I have to answer it at all? You know, but if you take a few seconds, you can process those thoughts. And you know, if someone needed to respond quickly, they can just wait.
That's it. You know? That's it. They're going to have to. They're going to have to. One thing also that I want to touch on was gratitude. Because you mentioned something about gratitude to me some time ago and has stuck with me. And you know, the importance of gratitude even in pain. So talk to me a little bit about.
The expression is attitude of gratitude. Gratitude, the mental process of gratitude covers all things. It permeates all things. If you go into the dollar store, you know, the helium balloons in the corner and some happy anniversary, birthday, all that stuff. You go over there and you pull on the string for the balloon you want. You take it to the cashier, you pay for it, and you take it home. Well, the human mind can only handle so many emotions at the same time. And what I've found over the years is that if you pull on the string of gratitude, it limits anything else that you can pull, and it definitely limits anything that's negative. You can't have gratitude and have sadness. You can't have gratitude and have depression. You can't have gratitude and have anxiety. You can't have gratitude only works with other positive things. So my son BJ says, well, why are you always happy? It's that, not that I don't really, I'm not thinking I'm always happy. But when I wake up in the morning, I'm in a warm, cozy bed.
Yes.
I think I need to thank God for one, another day, and two, for a warm, cozy bed.
Yes.
Well, there are tons of people under the bridge. That's not a bed, that's concrete. And if it's raining, they're getting wet. You know, if you make a list of the things for which you are grateful compared to a list of the things that you lack, the gratitude list goes on forever. The lack list is pretty small. And the wiser you get, the smaller the lack list becomes, because you realize those things are really not things that you need.
One thing that you said to me about gratitude too is that we can be grateful for pain.
Well, pain lets us know. Gratitude for pain lets you know you're alive. That's one thing. You know, if you're not here, you probably don't have any pain. plus it's a warning. Wow. You know, it's your body telling you something is wrong.
Right.
Okay. You don't want a situation you're walking along as you phrase it best, just fall out.
Right.
You know, you're getting a warning something is wrong, therefore you go see a professional.
Right.
Let's see what it is and let's get this fixed.
Right.
You know, so yeah, it's a very life comes down to how you choose to view. We both wear glasses.
Yes.
So we're both looking at life through the lenses of our glasses. Everything is going on in life. Sadness, happiness, people get married, people getting divorced. Everything is going on at the same time. You can only process a limited number at a time. And guess what? You have a choice. You can decide what lenses you view life in. I choose to view it from the point of view of gratitude. I choose to view it from the point of view of humor. So most of my stories tend to be humorous. The exact same situation can give you a depressing story, should you choose it to be. But a depressing story does not help my health.
Right.
You know, it creates anxiety, it creates a stress, it
right.
creates stress.
That's right.
Whereas a funny story does help my health. It helps my body produce endorphins. That's my own natural high,
right.
That kind of thing.
Right.
The negative will always be there. But if you choose to focus on the positive, you still got to pay mortgage. Yeah, that's always going to be there. But you're not sitting looking at it, oh my God, here comes mortgage again. And that, yeah, it's got to be paid. Here you go, take care of that. Now let's go enjoy the fun of life that's over
right.
here.
That's right. That's right. Because we have an opportunity to prepare. We see those things coming and we see them over the horizon and we say, okay, I know it's coming and I can make preparations for that instead of creating anxiety, like you said, or stress. But like I said, I love that we talk about gratitude in a way. It's all about perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And it is about making sure that that our perspective is one of being grateful. No, I don't want to say I'm happy for the pain, but I'm grateful to have the pain so that way I know what's wrong. If I have a strong threshold for pain, I still can feel the pain. I'm grateful for that because at least I can say I know something is wrong and I know that something needs to be fixed. I know that something is happening.
And you know where it is.
Yeah.
The pain tells to give you an idea where it is.
Yeah.
Now, another thing that we didn't touch on, do we have time?
Yes, we do.
Another thing we didn't touch on is referred pain. Most people will come in and they have back pain across their waist. And many medical professionals will work on back pain across their waist. But a lot of people don't know is your butt muscles, which is, those are your gluteal muscles, are the largest muscles in the body.
Mm.
And they're stacked three deep.
Mm.
And they're large for a reason. Unless you're just moving your hand,
yeah.
Every other movement works through your butt muscles. When you make a fist, can I give you something if you have your fist closed?
Yeah.
Okay. So if your butt muscles are locked up, you're not able to use them for the function God made them for. And when the butt muscles are locked up and inflamed, they refer pain up to your waist.
Mm.
So when someone has lower back pain, if you keep working on the waist, you're not actually addressing the problem. You know? Now, there are muscles in your waist, we call it QL, quadratus lumborum, muscles in the waist that can maintain, that can cause pain in the waist,
okay.
And that's the actual cause of pain. But for most people, it's a combination of the muscles in the waist and the butt muscles that are referring pain to the waist.
Mm.
So the look on people's face when you tell them their back pain is called their butts inflamed is like, come on now. And then when I prove it to them, it's like, oh, no.
Right. It's like, you just want to touch my butt? No, no. There's a medical reason why. But yeah, just like you said, you don't think about how, you know, things. But then I think about the things where they talk about how certain pressure points or certain points in your hands or in your feet go to different parts of your body.
Mm-hmm.
So there should be an understanding that, yeah, sometimes that pain may be from there, but it is referred from someplace else. So that is important to know. But these are things, like you said, if you don't take the time to know your body or to understand your body or to understand how your body works, because the body is a beast. We've said that numerous times. I've said that even in my wellness journey. The body is a beast. The reason why I became a holistic nutritionist, because I wanted to know what was going into my body. I wanted to understand how food was working for me. So that's something that's critical. So like I said, it's just a matter of us knowing ourselves, knowing our bodies, knowing how we, you know, how our body functions. Mm-hmm. Because when we know that, we can ask the right questions. We can begin to be more aligned and focused with the things that are going on with us. We're in the age of technology. And I feel that if we have certain symptoms, Google it, research it, find out what they're saying about those things, find out what the trends are. So that way, when you're going to your healthcare team, you're knowledgeable about the things that are going on. You know what questions to ask because you've done the research. It's like, do the work. Yeah, yes, they're the professional, but when they're speaking about things and they're not going to speak about them in layman's terms, at least familiarize yourself with the words. I think about my doctors. I have one doctor and she already knows that every time I come in there, if she's going to use a term that I've never heard of, she already says, here, Kim, I Googled it and here's the paperwork for you. That's where we've gotten. That's where our relationship has gotten, because she knows I'm going to look at him like, what's that? I don't know what that means. Tell me what that means. Or she goes, I'm picking up my phone and I'm going to Google it. She's like, I printed it out for you already. She knows. But it's also about establishing relationships too.
Mm-hmm.
Your healthcare professional should not be a stranger to you. Yes, they have several, patients that they deal with, but there should still be that relationship where they know that there are certain things that you're going to ask, or there's a certain way that you are. My healthcare professionals know that when they come in, they're like, we know you're going to do what you're supposed to do, Kim, because you listen to what I say. But they've learned that because it's been evident in our relationship. So it's about just, it's about, you know, not being a number, but establishing a relationship. And like I said, I you know, in a perfect world, I would love for it to be a team of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, where they all get together, where we all come together, whether it be via, Zoom or anything like that. They have the telemed visits. Bring one or two more people on there with me and so we can all have that conversation together. So that way we can figure out what's best for us. But the ideal thing in all of this is to advocate for ourselves so that way when we're getting together, you know, with our team, we're doing what's going to be best for our quality of life, because none of us are getting younger. I'm not getting any younger. You're not getting younger. So we want to make sure that we're doing what's going to be best, because, you know, I don't want to spend the twilight years of my life in somebody's wheelchair. And then I'm talking about, I want to go on vacation. I want to be able to cartwheel and run and frolic as long as I can, as long as my legs will carry me.
Frolic, really?
Frolic. I want to frolic. I want to be able to do that. I have longevity in my family. My grandmothers lived to be 90 and 105 respectively. I'm going to be around for a while. That's
frolic.
My prayer. But if I don't frolic.
There's a certain level of, I guess, politics in the healthcare also. There are clients who we know we can help, but the insurance say they have to go physical therapy. There are clients who we've worked on who are veterans. And I remember one lady, after years, it's like 15, 20 years, we were able to, we worked on her once and we brought her pain level all the way down. The lady called me and said she was laying in bed hugging her dog for the first time without pain. VA wouldn't pay for it. They insisted that she kept going back to to act taking acupuncture, which she did for 2 years, which was not working. And we're saying, okay, so here we have proof that this works. They wouldn't pay for it. So there's a lot of politics, and it does not work in the favor of the patient.
And that's unfortunate. It's like you said, we want to do what works, but sometimes we're put in a position where, okay, my hands are tied. I have to do it their way, and their way may not be the best way.
But having done their way, when that doesn't work, they're not coming back to the other way. And that's the politics of the thing. There are a lot of times the healthcare literally works against us.
And that's something that I hope that, as time passes, we'll be able to, and I think that's why so many people are turning to holistic medicine and going that route, because they're not wanting to get caught in that system. And it's like you said, there are a lot of politics that come along with that. And I hope that, with knowledge and with better diet, with better exercising, that we begin to do things that won't cause us to have to go into that system in the first place. So I think that's going to be something huge. But I know, honey, we can talk for days and days and days. And as a returning guest to the How Now podcast, you're always welcome to come back. So we're going to talk again, because what's happening now is not going to be what's happening in 2 minutes, 2 hours, 2 months, 2 weeks, 2 years from now. So you're always welcome to come back. But I know that there was something that you wanted to offer to our listeners for the month of March, March Madness. And tell me a little bit about
There are times that people have knee pain, as we mentioned earlier,
that.
heel pain, pain in the toes as well, more the side of the foot, and also pain in the lower back, pain in the legs. It's not always sciatica, but there are a lot of times it is. So the people who want to know, they're kind of in a catch-22 situation. A lot of people don't have unlimited funds. So you can't go try everything. And without the knowledge, you're trying to close your eyes and pick who you have to, where you have to spend your funds, and hope that that works. For the month of March, just for your viewers, what we'll do, we'll put it on the schedule so they can go online and make an appointment for a 15 or 20 minute session, whereby they come in and we'll check them for sciatica. If you have it, we'll let you know, and you decide if you want us to work with you on it. And if you don't have it, you just don't have it. So this way you can eliminate one possibility without it costing you money.
Wonderful. And that will be for our listeners that are in the Georgia area.
This is in Georgia. We are in Conyers, Georgia. And we'll put it on the schedule today. Okay.
Awesome. Okay, so you heard it here. You'll be able to get seen or to get tested. Or how do what is it? It's an evaluation to let them know
It's an evaluation, yes.
if they have sciatica. And that's something that's
Yes.
important, because you said that that was something that you've seen an increase in your customers that are coming in with sciatica.
Huge increase. We went from about 1 in 30 clients who had sciatica. This is before COVID, and now sometimes it's 1 in 3 or 4 out of 5.
So it's something that's surging, and so we want to make sure that our listeners have an opportunity to come in and do that. I appreciate that. I really do. And so, like I said, we'll wrap things up here, because like I said, it's important again that we advocate for ourselves, that we look at what we can do to eliminate pain, not just manage it, but to eliminate it, and to just keep that level of awareness going. And so I appreciate you being here. I appreciate you opening your lovely establishment to me. I've been here a couple of times, y'all, and I'll keep on coming back. I'll be coming back in a couple of weeks to see Brian. And it's just make sure that you have a team. Make sure you have a team of people that are working with you. Make sure that you advocate for yourself, just like you would advocate for an elderly family member or someone. Advocate for yourself just as well, because we want to be in the best condition to not only care for ourselves, but to care for our family members who are aging as well. So it's a domino effect. And I think that if we focus on ourselves. It's like we say, we can't pour from an empty cup, so we have to be able to fill our own fill I mean fill our own cup, that way we can in turn pour into others. So that's what we're going to seek to do. Okay, so before we leave, I always ask my guests, if they have any parting thoughts, any words of wisdom for our listeners, and then also tell us how you're living in the now.
Oh my goodness. There's so much that we could talk about. Our tagline is we relieve pain so you can enjoy life. Pain robs us of quality of life. We're here, we are available for a phone conversation. There are a lot of times people don't know where to go next. And I can't guarantee that I'm the one who can point you in the right direction. But if I have more knowledge on it than you, I'd be happy to point you in the right direction. There are times that people say, I need a massage. And when they describe what's going on, I said, no, you don't. You need to see a chiropractor first. And if you're in this area, I'd recommend this person or this person. So I invite people to capitalize on that. They can text. The fastest way for them to reach me is text me. The number is 404-438-4477. And just text and leave me a text, and when I'm not working, I'll get back to you on it.
Yes, and then again, in the description of the show, we'll make sure that they have the link to be able to find out about that sciatica evaluation. So we'll make sure that we do that. Now, tell us how you're living in the now. 2 years later, what's something that's different? What are you doing to live in this now?
For me, bliss. I'm a homebody, so that works for me. And I find it causes me less stress. Therefore, I hopefully I offer a better service to my clients.
Gotcha. And that's it. That's what life is about. Life is about being able to, not only care for ourselves, but to be able to extend our knowledge, our wisdom, our practices, our expertise to others. So that way, we're building a better quality of life for mankind, for all of us. We're touching people in ways that we haven't been able to do, and technology allows us to do that. And I just appreciate this platform and this opportunity to bring you on to talk about the things that you're doing in this now. And know again that you are part of the How Now family, so you are always welcome back. You can keep on coming back. You have a permanent seat at the table. So we're happy that you are here. And
Thank you for
so,
having me.
always, always, okay. Be sure to take care of yourself. Be sure to advocate for yourself and for your health. That way, the quality of life that you're looking for is something that you can embrace. All right. And that will do it for this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. And until Brian and I see you the next time, we say peace.